everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And today we are very excited to be talking about the three most recent Hallmark Christmas movies. This is our third episode covering just this Thanksgiving week. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and we're always very glad to get a chance to talk with Dr. Lisa Lucas is here.
Hello.
Yes. So happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm ready for more stuffing.
Yeah. Yeah. You had an eventful Thanksgiving, it sounds like.
Yeah. So take two happens tomorrow. Just put it that way. We had chicken and there's a take two, and I'm going to be sure that I get all of my cheesy potatoes and stuffing again tomorrow.
is that what you look forward to most? Is the
yes, cheesy potatoes? All the sides. My grandma made an amazing cheesy potatoes, which is probably just like a standard recipe that, you know, people have, and there's probably better ones out there, but it's all I ever knew, and they're amazing. And like, just to give you an idea, on the top you take like the regular Lay's chips and you crush them up, and then they kind of crispy in the oven and the cheese. Okay, I'm hungry.
We had, my sister made this macaroni and cheese, and we don't normally have macaroni and cheese.
We don't either.
At Thanksgiving, but man, she nailed it. It was so good. We may be now having it in the future.
You're like, all a family holiday. Yeah. <I'll> have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, no, I'm a big fan of the food part of holidays, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, it was really fun because my sister and her boyfriend were in town, and they're in England. And so I don't get to see them very much. And so that was really, really fun. But we did have a very yummy meal, and I was in charge of bringing the salad, which
you're like, easy breezy.
Yeah, that's right. it was tough. We're talking about the movies that aired on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on Hallmark Channel.
Thanksgiving special.
Yes. So they are we have the Christmas Club.
Yes.
And then Christmas at the Plaza.
Yes.
And then Christmas in Evergreen, Tidings of Joy. So it's going to be interesting. I have to state out front, I was not the biggest fan of this grouping. Yeah. And so if you're somebody who gets irritated when I don't like these movies, then this might not be the podcast for you.
Or stick with me. Yeah. You're on Team Elisa.
I'm just a jerk. What can I say? I don't know. But
also, Rachel, I think we also have to state at the beginning that, as people probably know if they've listened to other episodes that I've been on, that I grew up on Lifetime and not on Hallmark. So everything I'm watching is generally brand new. Like, there hasn't been anything I've seen where I've been like, yeah, I've seen that one, or, you know. So for me, yeah, I'm like, everything's great. I'm like, a cookie crawl. My life.
Yeah, well, none of these lived up to the
glory
of the cookie crawl, not. That's for sure.
Absolutely not. But I have a level of positivity that you can never find on Lifetime.
Yeah, that is true. And I did love, and I was telling you this off air, there was a Lifetime movie that I loved called A Christmas Wish that everybody should watch, and I'll talk with Lisa about it on Tuesday. We'll record it on Tuesday about that was really good in our non-Hallmark coverage that I really, really liked. And
I wrote it down to see if my mom DVR'd it so I can watch it with her tonight when we do, or this weekend when we do Thanksgiving part two, the remake. Yeah.
I also loved Twinkle All the Way on Lifetime. So so for a while there, I thought that Hallmark was just beating the tar out of Lifetime this year, which was the opposite of last year. But then this week, they're coming in pretty strong. So
coming in. Yeah.
All right. Well, so let's talk about these three movies and
favorites.
Yes. My favorites. But let's talk about The Christmas Club, which was my favorite of the three.
Ooh, interesting.
Personally, yes. And so here we go. The summary is, these are two busy strangers, Olivia Bennett and Edward Taylor, meet when they help an elderly woman find her lost Christmas savings. Thanks to fate and Christmas magic, they also find something they were both missing, true love. And so this is based on a novel, and it was adapted by Julie Sherman Wolfe, who's friend of the podcast. And when she was on the podcast this last week, and she's great, really funny person, really funny writer. And I think that that's where this movie really shines, is I thought the writing was really sharp. And you know, I famously was a little bit disappointed that the movie was not actually about a Christmas club.
Is someone who's studying friendship for their job? Same.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be in a Christmas club.
I know. Like, how cool would it be? You have every month you meet with fellow members of the Christmas club, and you like one, let's say in January, maybe you have like, you talk about putting away the tree, and you have, you know, different, each month you'd have a different the Christmas treat that you'd eat, and you'd have basically Christmas all year long. It would be so cool.
Oh my goodness, I want to join.
Right?
And I think a particular Christmas club that I think a big part of that Christmas club should be, there should be a cookie each month.
Yes. You know, yeah, so you'd be ready for the cookie crawl.
Ready for the cookie crawl. Yeah. So, okay, so Hallmark, if you're listening, we have a new movie.
So,
it's called The Christmas Club.
we talked with Julie. I talked with Julie about it, and we're working on ideas for coming up with the actual Christmas Club movie.
If you need any help with cookie ideas, let me know.
Yeah.
Or taste testing.
Yes. Yeah, don't just stick with just gingerbread.
Oh, God. No. God.
Let's move on. I loved that in the cookie crawl movie, which she's like, they just made chocolate chip cookies. What is wrong with them? That was the best.
Even have like mint flavored M&Ms. Come on.
And so this movie stars Cameron Matheson and Elizabeth Mitchell.
Yes.
And it was a tiny bit distracting, because when I think of Elizabeth Mitchell, I don't think of Lost like most people probably do.
Yeah.
I think of Once Upon a Time, and she was Elsa, and Elsa / Ingrid, I think was her name, you know, in the real world or whatever.
I forgot about that show. That was good.
It was such a good show. I loved it. I
might have to rewatch that. I just wrote another note. Now you get me three movies and a TV series. Thanks.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, with Frozen 2 just coming out.
Yeah.
It's just, my mind just went immediately there. Yeah. And
I do like her a lot, though. Yeah. So I was like pleased to see her in the movie.
Yeah. The casting was really strong, and I do think that they had nice chemistry between Cameron and Elizabeth. She felt a little bit to me like a fairy person. Like, she was so light and kind of fun and I don't know.
Sweet baby angel.
Yes.
But she does say in the movie, like, I like to help, and she seems to be like, that's just her spirit. And like, don't we all need that during Black Friday and other parts of the holiday?
Like, seriously, I would not be surprised at all if she was like an actual fairy person. Like, she's so,
we'll wait for the sequel.
Yeah. But yeah, and Cameron Matheson is always just, I mean, come on.
No, I like him a lot. Like, I even know who he is. Yeah. I mean, I was like, oh yeah, this guy. Okay.
Yeah. There's something about these soap opera stars who they just really transition well. So well over
they do really well.
To Hallmark. Yes. And so that's definitely the case with Cameron Matheson. Mm-hmm. And we'll see also with Ryan Pavey coming up.
I didn't know, and I took some notes on him.
Oh, yeah. We'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast and thank our sponsors over at Care Of. They've been such wonderful sponsors for the podcast. And right now you can get 50% off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com, enter code Hallmarkies50. That is new. That's different than our previous code for their sponsorship. So you go to takecareof.com, enter code Hallmarkies50. What's great about Care Of is how personal it is. You go online, you take the quiz, and it helps guide you through sort of your needs and help you to figure out what kind of vitamins that you should be taking so that you're not just sort of wasting your time and your money on things that don't really fit your needs. I was able to sort of narrow down my needs for sleep products and to help me get a little more energy and some of the other things. And it's very personal. Each packet that you get has a little quote on it, is able to you know, can help inspire you to be the healthiest version of yourself. And I just was very impressed by the level of detail that they go to make it personal. And everything is just very easy to use. You can just stick them in your purse or your suitcase if you're traveling during this time of year. It's the holidays. We're all going to be setting New Year's resolutions coming up soon. So what a perfect way to start now. Start in December. And this would make also a great gift, something really thoughtful. They have protein powders. They have all different kinds of things that can be a great, healthy part of your life. It's very easy, very convenient, comes right to your door. So definitely check out Care Of. And right now, 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com, enter Hallmarkies50. Yeah. And so what did you think of this whole, the premise of, because in this world, the Christmas camp is basically like a layaway system at the bank where like they basically take out however much every month so that you have this savings for Christmas. And what do you think of Gertrude?
Well, first off, I was like, the layaway, and I mean, it reminds me of my childhood, like just like all the layaway stuff that my parents did so that we could get toys for Christmas and things like that. So that part I was like, this feels like my childhood. And Gertrude, she was up to, I was like, if you thought that Olivia was a fairy, this woman was like a matchmaker in disguise.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I thought she was great.
Yeah, it was really cute. I liked the whole concept of it all that they're going to, you know, they make her money flies away. And these two people are obviously meant to be together because they're both so nice that they want to help this lady. And it was real cute. And I liked the sense of Christmas magic in this, because we don't get enough of that in Hallmark movies. We actually, I mean, in two of these, we had a little bit of Christmas magic, which was nice.
But can we say they made the Christmas magic happen, because when her money flew away, they produced it.
Right. Yeah.
So that part of the magic was two people coming together, like, let's help out Gertrude. But at the same time, like, there's a really strong idea about like fate in this movie, so that he had two 20s and she had two 20s and that they belong together. But I disagree with the idea that he's nice. I think I think he's nice, but he just has covered it up. and he needs Olivia to bring that out.
I mean, he's a little bit of, he's gotten a little ensconced in the world of business,
yes,
but not so much that he could be mean to a old lady who's lost all her savings. sides. I mean, they're still.
Although they step outside, he's like, yeah, those 20s are gone.
Yeah. I mean,
I guess it's not so much that he isn't nice. He's realistic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it kind of made, it was an interesting choice because I felt like his character was way more conflicted than you typically see in some of these, you know, paragons of virtue men that we typically see. But his, the things that he's sort of his concerns about, you know, sort of repeating the mistakes of his parents,
yeah,
and sort of that childhood trauma. And you're talking about you're talking about two people in their 40s, I think. I mean, it's not like this is a young romance, but he still holds that, you know, some of that fear. And like, he doesn't even eat pecans because his parents evidently had a big row over them. I don't know.
What was this fight about pecans? I'd like to know. But I do think that's an interesting point to have, is that, you know, is it so much fate or is it time for them to both let go of the things that have kept them from others? You know what I mean? So in a way, it's like he's wearing that in his adult life as armor to protect himself. And what that ends up doing is just keeping him from being happy with another person.
Yeah.
And then we know with her story is that her husband has passed away.
Yeah.
And so is it her friend that's like, a Christmas wish, let's get you a man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not ready. And it's, you know, it's been 8 years. And I don't want to say that, oh, she should be ready at a year. She should be ready at 8 or 18. Like, that's up for someone to decide, because, you know, to me, a loss of someone that you loved is, I mean, who's to say how long that would take to get over? So,
right, yeah.
But I think they're both kind of coming in at a point where maybe it is time for her and maybe it's time for him to shed the armor, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I like that.
Yeah, I did too. And his sister was the MVP of the movie. I loved his sister. She was so cool and so well performed by the actress. And I don't know. I just thought that she was great.
I love it. She's like, have you called him? No, I lost his number. Here's his number. Can I get yours too? Like, she was just like going for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just really thought she was cool and her kids were cool. And
yeah,
I just really enjoyed it. And he was wounded. He had his own wounds. And so did she, but I never felt like he was too bitter. Maybe it's just Cameron Matheson is the best. And so so it was an interesting, you know, we've seen this save the whatever million times, but it was a little bit, I think, a different, spin on it this time because she, is a teacher at a dance studio and her boss or whatever is selling the studio, and she doesn't really have any control over that. She wants to do the final recital, but sort of the different take on it is she is encouraged by Cameron Methan's character to start her own studio. And so it wasn't the same kind of dynamic where we typically see, oh, the last minute the studio gets saved or whatever. Like, this was more interesting because her character has to kind of see if she can kind of get the courage to go out on her own.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Which was a lot better than a typical save the.
Well, and I also think that it goes back to this idea that maybe they're good for each other and the timing is right because the studio is closing. So maybe it's not so much fate to me, like, as it is timing, and that she met someone who is a business consultant, so he helps people open businesses, and so that's something where he has the knowledge, and so he helps people, she helps people, they both help people, so they're both into that sort of thing. And then like maybe she's been waiting a long time to go out on her own, and he encourages that, and I think she helps him see, you know, maybe, and that's, I don't want to say the error of his ways by holding on to the pecans, but I don't know how else to say it, you know? And so I think one of the things though, is that when looking for a partner, is it someone who supports you and encourages you and makes you better? And I think that was the case that they did that for each other.
Yeah, right? For sure.
I also think, you know, another moral, if you will, would be that you can't do everything by yourself though, too. Like, it is her moving out of the comfort zone, but it's also through someone else's knowledge and assistance that she can make that happen, you know? So I think that I did enjoy this.
Yeah. And I loved like little cute moments, like when they have the hot cocoa tech support, you know, it was cute. I mean, come on, who couldn't like that with Cameron Mastin getting the whipped cream all over his face and kids just cracking up? And
that was
really cute. I also liked the mysterious vendor person who it's like they're for the pecans, but then also the ho-ho-ho hot dog. And I was talking with someone on Twitter about it, and we were trying to figure out what would a ho 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 hot dog be.
Yeah,
they look just like normal hot dogs, which would be very disappointing.
Because then it's not at least festive. Like at least like line it with some ketchup and some relish to get that green. And
yes.
Or like, do the buns, like, do you make the bread buns with some dye in it so they're like red or green? Now that would be fun.
You went the more color idea.
Yes.
So, and that could definitely be, because if I just got a regular hot dog and it was supposed to be a ho 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 hot dog, there would be some definite disappointment.
Yes.
There.
Like the other way to go would be like, is it with flavors?
Yeah,
like,
see, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking of like a cranberry. Dog? If you had like a cranberry relish.
Oh, okay. Now that would be interesting.
That would be delicious. It would be great.
Why do we always talk about food? I don't know.
I agree too. I thought he was fun. I liked the Christmas magic elements were cute, I thought, in this. I also thought that weird puzzle mural thing. I've never seen that in my life, and I've seen a lot of these Christmas movies, so that was fun.
Yeah. See, people won't be mad at you. You liked it.
I did. I liked this one. There were some things I didn't like though. So let's get to mean person territory. Okay. I thought the conflict was not my favorite. Like what on earth? Why would she be, she's mad at him for helping her get a loan?
Yeah.
What? That was really irritating to me.
One of the things might be like the, I can do it on my own. I've been doing it for 8 years. I don't need someone to save me. But yeah, like
how dare you?
But the thing about it is like, Like, I can understand why someone would want to do something independently. Okay, I get that, especially since you've been on your own for 8 years. But this person has knowledge that you don't have, so let's make it happen.
And it's not like, I mean, what bank in the world is going to be like, well, we weren't going to give a loan to so-and-so for this commercial investment that could lose a ton of money for us, but our buddy here vouches for her, so therefore we're going to take this big risk. And I was like, come on. And
I mean, like, that's not how it works.
I just thought that was so lame. And
yes,
I personally am really grateful when people help me get a loan.
Oh gosh, yeah, especially because there's too much else going on and we're just trying to make it through. Let's help me get that loan. There's a similar conflict on the TV show Gilmore Girls, and that episode really bothers me because it's like she doesn't want her mom to help her get a loan, and it's like, but you need the loan.
Yeah.
And like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, in Chesapeake Shores, Jesse Metcalf's character, his dad works at a bank or whatever, and his dad helps him to get a loan, on this pretty risky investment, and he's all ticked off at like, I don't need your help. Why do you don't believe I can do it on my own? And I prefer just being like, he literally is helping you get the loan. Of course, he believes in you. Like, what?
Relax.
I don't know. So that was a little irritating to me. I was also a little bit irritated that she was annoyed with Cameron's character for the fact that his client ended up purchasing or is interested in purchasing the dance studio. Like, that is not his fault.
No,
his job. And I do get kind of irritated in these movies when people are the bad guy for doing their job. Like, they're not, it's not like they're Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, taking the money from
And it's not like it has nothing to do with her, you know what I mean? And like, even if that was the case, it's like, he's known you for how long? Whatever.
Yeah. and he obviously, it wasn't some kind of underhanded thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I liked the fact that it was a different take on the save the whatever.
Yeah.
But I was also a little bit irritated.
Yeah, let's get beyond these like petty sort of conflicts when like let's keep our eye on the ball, so to speak, right? Instead of being mad. Like, I think that's what ends up happening, not just in Hallmark movies in life. We end up blaming people for things that are out of their control or might be our own fault. It's kind of like we waste a lot of time doing that. A lot of energy and time worrying and being mad and things like that. And it ends up not being worth it. So,
well, that's why I liked his sister, because she was just from the very beginning, like, stop being stupid. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, what is wrong?
Can we get shirts made? Stop being stupid.
So that'll be our new merch.
Yeah, I like it. At least stickers. I need that on my computer.
Somebody out there, if you're an artist, you want to design a stop being stupid design.
Yes.
We'll put it up on
the end. A sticker. I probably shouldn't wear that to like work or anything. I'm a teacher.
Well, I mean, you're a college teacher, so it probably would be pretty apropos.
I would adjust it to stop getting in your own way.
You're too nice. I'd be like, stop being stupid.
You might say the same.
Yeah. But yeah, so that wasn't my favorite, but I still liked the leads enough, and I thought that it was funny enough, and the script was funny enough, and so I ended up I liked it. The other thing too is so he gets her, or she gets his number, and instead of entering it in her phone like a normal human in 2019, she gets it on the napkin. And then of course it gets wet right away. And I was like,
well, that's the thing is, like, because it's based on a novel, like some of the stuff might need to be updated. Like, cause the Christmas Club is like the bank. And I, to be honest, I don't know if people still do that. So maybe people can let us know. I don't know. But like, so some of it did feel like not quite adjusted for 2019.
Yeah,
so then it's like, that's you don't lose people's number accidentally when they put it in your phone.
Yeah, right.
If you lose someone's number after they put it in the phone, that was on purpose.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But that, yeah, now I don't know how you could do it. Now it's like maybe she gets mad about him finding a buyer for the studio and she deletes it off her phone, or maybe like the kid deletes it accidentally off the phone.
Yeah. Those are like much more viable options.
Yeah. Than the, cause a lot of times they don't even ever explain how the various characters got their numbers.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess at least that's better than that, but yeah. I don't know. So those are things. It was the best, but overall I liked a little bit of magic. I liked the chemistry. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole, I like Gertrude and I liked the vendor guy and I liked his sister. So there are definitely enough positive moments for me.
Yeah.
And so I would give this one 3.5 crowns.
Okay. I did enjoy it maybe a little bit more. I liked the idea of, you know, I'm going with timing over fate, but as someone who studies communication, like, I was like, I learned a lot. Like, there's good reminders for us in this mm-hmm. particular movie, and I also enjoyed the chemistry, and so I'm going to give it 4 crowns.
Very good. Okay, good. All right. So next.
And then it goes downhill.
Yeah. So then we had Christmas at the Plaza and the stars Ryan Pavey and Elizabeth.
Hello.
Bridge. Yeah.
Have and I seen a movie with him before? I don't think I have.
Yeah. He's pretty popular here on Hallmark Channel. So the summary for this one is, with Christmas approaching in New York City, Jessica, an archival historian, and meshed in a declining romantic relationship, is hired to create an exhibition honoring the history of Christmas at the Plaza Hotel. There she meets Nick, a handsome decorator who's been commissioned to deck out the iconic landmark. When they're paired together to prepare the exhibition, they wind up enjoying a host of holiday traditions together and find themselves falling for each other. Tensions soon rise as Jessica must figure out her romantic priorities and decide with whom she'll ultimately spend Christmas at the Plaza.
See, that's the first problem.
Yeah,
there's no question.
Right.
Hello.
Right. Yeah. They really need the other guy. Ooh, it's rough. Honestly, I would have kind of no problem with this movie if I didn't think that the lead was woefully miscast. I thought that Elizabeth Henstridge was just. I'm sure she's a lovely human, but this was just so miscast. I thought that she was so awkward, that she was so uncomfortable, and I guess she's what is she? I mean, I know she's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
for a long time. And she has an accent. Mm-hmm. And because she's English, an English actress, and so I don't know if it was just her awkwardness at playing an American or what, but I thought that, I don't know, she did not do it for me. I just thought she made every scene that was supposed to be charming really uncomfortable and really,
well,
I thought
real.
She was so wooden and so I don't want to be mean, it just didn't work for me at all.
Well, and one of the things is, let's be honest, anyone cast across from this guy, I'd be awkward too.
Yeah, I mean, there's some fairness.
Your job
to
is
that.
Acting. I know, that's a joke. but I agree. Like, I thought the chemistry in the other movies and that sort of thing, like, she didn't seem to fit the role as well. as the other leads that we saw over the three movies. And so, like, yeah, so it kind of, I mean, the character wise, there were a lot of things I liked, but her in it, and I don't know, I can't recast it because I haven't seen enough Hallmark movies, but I'm sure you could, like,
oh yeah,
you might be able to see who you would want to see in that role. But I did really enjoy, can I say, the two things I loved most about this movie was that she was an archival historian. I was like, get it. Historians, you know, there was historians watching, like, finally.
Yeah, it was a different career. And
I loved that. I loved that part of it. And I loved that it was in the plaza, but I don't know how much else I liked about it.
Yeah, I just couldn't get over it. I just thought she was just so not the right person for this role. And the thing I guess I don't understand is, why not just have her accent? Who cares? Like, make up some convoluted reason that
she's, you know, a historian from England that lives in America. Done.
She grew up in England and then her family moved when she was a teenager. Who cares? Like, just it does not matter. Like, just come up with some convoluted, if it's not working, which it really wasn't in my opinion, then just come up with something that will make it so that's better. There's no doubt, I don't know how anyone could argue that if she had her normal accent, it would have been a billion times better.
And let's be real, people with British accents.
Yeah. And it would have made her an interesting, I don't know, because I feel like it's not that Ryan Pavey has an accent or an English accent, but he has a very, like, sophisticated voice, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And there's something about his voice, right?
Sorry.
No, there's no doubt about it. Ryan Pavey is he's an extremely thirsty guy. Like, he is so handsome.
I feel like my life was like before I saw a movie with Ryan Pavey. Now my life is...
I mean, it's just true. There's no doubt about it.
And what could have been really cute about that, actually, it could have impacted the storyline in a really cute way, because they're doing all of these, like, Christmas traditions, and it could have been, like, lots of cute moments where it's like, well, in England we did this, or, you know, something like that. Like, it could have been like a cute story all around based on her growing up in England and being like a British American type situation. But, like, shout out to all the historians out there. You got your moment for sure.
That's true. That's very, very true. And I did like the meet cute. It was pretty good, where she moves that ladder. And he's just like hanging there.
Hi, excuse me.
And that's just what's so frustrating to me about this movie, is because I really don't have that many complaints as far as the story. I loved the setting of the plaza. I thought that was really nice, but that was a fatal flaw to me. The miscasting was a fatal flaw to me.
Sometimes it's hard to come back from something like that. Like, Can I tell you one of the things that hurts me the most in casting is from the movie Les Mis, the one that came out that had Hugh Jackman. Yeah,
right.
For me, I couldn't get past Russell Crowe in that role, because he was not a strong singer, and, like, that ruined everything for me. So, like, I at least, like, understand that, like, I love Les Mis. It's one of my favorite musicals, the original London recording. I listen to it all the time. And so I was like, you need someone who can go toe-to-toe to Hugh Jackman, who is a wonderful singer. Right. And I was like, you couldn't get Mandy Patinkin? Like, come on. Right? So, like, I get that. And like, I think it's a really cute idea. I love the plaza. Like, I mean, obviously, I've never stayed there, but, like, there's some sort of just, wondrous, like, it's just a magnificent place. And, like, some of my favorite movies growing up were, you know, it was Home Alone. So the second one, when they're like, I don't know, there's, like, fond memories for it. And so I was really excited for this to take place in the plaza. And she's lovely. Like, she has the look and everything like that. It just, I agree, maybe not as strongly, but, like, I can understand how it makes it hard to talk about, because there are so many more things that we could have enjoyed with different casting, yeah, or different, or acceptance of an accent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, these movies are so based on chemistry that makes
sense. Yes. Absolutely.
So if it's miscast, then you have a really hard time, at least I certainly did, of buying the chemistry, and it's just it's tough. But anyway, let's, you know, so I really did like the Reginald Brookwater, the Bellman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was great.
Bruce Davison, he was really mm-hmm. nice. And then you have her boyfriend Dennis.
Ugh, who,
as an academic, how did you feel about him and the faculty party and the whole portrayal of academia?
Like pies, can I say no comment?
Yeah,
because I just. Academic sometimes I can't, I'm like a 15-year-old girl, I can't even, I like
yeah, he was the worst.
That's the thing, it's just like, why you got, okay, so I'm all like, yay historians, you got your chance, but I'm also an academic, and I'm like, Dennis, you're ruining it for the rest of us.
Yeah. When when she gets ready for the party in like 5 seconds, I was just like, wow, he should be so impressed with that.
Yeah.
I'm the best girlfriend ever.
And how long it takes me to get ready.
Meanwhile, he's like looking at his watch like, yeah. Why do I have to deal with this? Yeah. I don't know. He was definitely one of the most insufferable wrong guys. Of the season, there's no doubt. Yeah,
that's the thing, is like, I don't know, like I was following on Twitter, like the hashtag and that sort of thing. Uh-huh. I didn't tweet live, but I was like reading it, and someone was like, you act like you're gonna propose and you give a research project, get yeah. out of here, boy. Bye. And I was like, yes, thank you.
Like, they've been dating for 2 years and he doesn't even, it doesn't even occur to him that she yeah. might want more of a commitment. I mean, come on.
And this might be like a controversial hot take on academia, but I think it does get that right, that sometimes people spend way too much time thinking about research than doing other aspects of them. Like, you're a teacher, you do service, but also like take some time. Like, academics spend way too much time on the research, and I think like there's a real missed opportunity for yeah. work-life balance, including, I don't know, being in a happy relationship. Or maybe it wasn't so happy.
Yeah.
And it's time for him to get to Stefan.
Well, and especially if he had seen Ryan Pavey's character, I think he might be like, I gotta get with it.
Because he would have been so motivated to get it together.
Yeah. Because when Ryan Pavey's character is like, let's go have some linguine and clams, I'm like, go with him.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, Dennis, I was like, no thanks. That's what my notes say. Yeah. No thanks.
he was the worst. And it's not only that Ryan Peavy is super handsome, but also he was just super nice, and their banter, you know, all that stuff. And I think it was
part of the problem is that, like, if you're going to have a set up a tension between, like, so she has a partner, then she meets this new guy and that sort of thing, and there's problems in a relationship, but there should be something where it feels like she's having a difficult time making the decision,
right? Yeah, there was like, no question. Yeah, like, that's absolutely right.
Like, you know, like, he's a good guy and he's handsome and, you know, he's funny, but maybe it's just not right for them. Like, I don't know, I want to see something where it's not. Because usually it turns out where it's like, that person is awful. Like, oh, who was the partner? I think it was their first movie that we did about friendship. where it was her childhood friend, and then they ended up getting married. I don't remember what that movie was called, but
this is the very first time we had you on with 7 Year Hitch.
Yes, there it is.
Yeah.
I do really great, don't I?
But no, it's very true. But in that case, he was so evil that it was kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm on the fence of whether I think Dennis crossed that sort of bridge.
No, he didn't, but it's just one of those things where it's like you kind of got to bring someone who can go a little bit toe-to-toe with Ryan.
Well, especially because they've been dating for 2 years and these are like mature people. Like it's one thing if you're dating for 2 years and you're 20, 22, you know what I mean? Then like, and everybody has their choices and their path and everything, but, but I feel like it's not unreasonable to say if I was dating someone for 2 years as a mature adult, that it would not be a surprise that they wanted like more commitment than to do a research paper together, you know, like that's
how you show love in academics, Rachel.
Yeah, I guess. That's pretty exciting.
I do.
I'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast and thank our sponsor. They are the good folks over at HelloFresh, and they are America's number one meal kit. And right now you get 9 free meals with HelloFresh by going to HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies9 and then use code Hallmarkies9 when you check out. Most people are kind of aware, I think, of these meal kits, but I think what makes HelloFresh really special is the easy layout of the recipe cards and just the freshness and uniqueness of the recipes, because especially this time of the year where things are so busy, we all need some help. You can save so much time by using HelloFresh because you don't have to go shopping. You have the easy to use recipes, and it's something that you can get out of your dinner rut. These are chef curated meals, and so you can try things that you would never try before. And I recently tried it, and I had my 3 meals and they were all delicious. They were all easy to make. And they're definitely something that I would not have made on my own, which was nice. And it's also nice as a single person that I didn't have to buy like a whole jar of something just to use a little tiny bit, which can be a problem. And you just get the little bit that you need. So it's actually not wasteful. And everything is just really fresh and yummy. And you've got your card there so you can really see what it's supposed to look like and what it's supposed to do. So I thought it was really, really yummy. And I definitely recommend it. And right now you can get 9 free meals with HelloFresh going to HelloFresh.com/HallmarkiesNine. Use code Hallmarkies9. But how did you feel about the fact that he takes her, the Ryan Pavey's character, takes her to his to the family party? That would that be like, I feel like if it's somebody that I don't even really know that well, I've just been working with for a couple of days, and he takes me to his family party, that's kind of a lot, I feel like.
That's like too soon, unless he felt like she had nowhere else to go. Kind of like, you know, how people do on Thanksgiving, like, if you need a place to go, come here, you know, type of thing. But yeah, too soon. Too soon, buddy.
There's a lot to spring on someone.
Yeah, because it's like, and it's like, what does it communicate? And does he beforehand, like, okay, this is what this is. I don't know. There's too many assumptions being made by too many people. And yeah, that can make make the working relationship really awkward. It could make the family think, you know, what's going on here? I mean, there's so much that can come from it. And he might just be like, I like her, so I want to invite her, but too soon is what I would say.
You know, I mean, especially it's one thing if it was like a dinner thing with his mom, you know, his parents, or it kind of reminded me a little bit of Greek, Big Fat Greek Wedding, which is one of my favorite movies.
She goes to mentally prepare people before you unleash that.
She goes to his house and, you know, they're like talking about the country club and you know, whatever. And then he comes to her house and it's like, let's put the goat on the spit and it's the best.
But so long.
That would be, I'd be overwhelmed. Let's just sit there if I went to his family's house. I mean, but he was prepared. He even had the ugly Christmas sweater ready to go in the car, ready for her. Yeah. And it was really cute though. I loved the whole conceit of he puts a white star in the homes of the decorations that he loves.
Yeah.
That was really cute.
That was really cute.
I like that a lot. Also, did you learn a new vocabulary word in Finial de Arbri?
I'm glad you said it because I cannot pronounce it, but I also was like, say what now? We're doing what? Is this some sort of historian academic thing that can I get captions and subtitles?
She's doing the research and she finds out that these tree toppers, which are, I guess, in fancy world are called Finial de Arbri. I'm probably also pronouncing that wrong. I did my research and I found out that in the article on it's monstersandcritics.com on the Christmas in the Plaza, and it says here that however, viewers were left confused by two words uttered with surprising frequency in the movie. A large part of the plot seems to revolve around the characters finding a Finial de Arbri from 1969. And it says turns out that a Finial de Arbri is a type of Christmas tree ornament that sits atop the tree. Arbri is French for tree, and finial refers to the shape and type of ornament, typically decorated with leaves or leaf-like motifs.
Here's the thing, like, usually when people use like terminology like that that's important, they might define what it is, you know, and then you know, maybe Reginald's there. Oh, it's a blah, blah, blah. Oh, you know, so, and then, cause we're all Reginald in that moment, just as an example. So that make it easier. But then I was just like, oh, the stuff that goes on top of the tree. Okay. Why don't we just say that?
I mean, I really think most people just call it a tree topper, but she is an academic and.
Yeah. But we also have to be able to translate what we're doing for people to understand us.
Yeah, that's true.
She's not writing a journal article.
But it also kind of felt at home with the whole mystique of the plaza.
Yeah.
And just felt fancy.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. The plaza is fancy.
Yeah. Even Hallmark tweeted out, finial meaning a distinctive ornament at the apex of a roof, pinnacle, canopy, or similar structure in a building, or an ornament at the top, end, or corner of an object. D'Arbri meaning French for tree. So there you go. Thank you, Hallmark.
We needed that.
we learned something from watching Christmas at the Plaza.
Yeah, I just need to work on my pronunciation. You have it pretty good. Say it again.
Finial de Arbri?
Finial de Arbri.
Something like that. I don't know. But I'm sure all the French are very offended at my terrible pronunciation.
Sorry.
I also liked the scene where they danced in the Paris room.
That was pretty.
That was cute. Mm-hmm. And I liked the fact that she didn't cheat on Dennis, even though obviously hate Dennis, but she pulls away because she's dating someone else. So
that's one of the things that we talk about in my classes. Like I do teach a dark side topic, and that's one of the things that can happen. Cheating is like, there's an opportunity, but you still, and that could be the dance in the Paris room, for example, but you still have the opportunity to make a decision not to. Right. And so, good on her for that.
Yeah, I agree. And so, yeah, I mean, that was basically and then she comes up to she breaks up with Dennis. And when she sees him with the ex, I was like, oh, come on, give me a break. Like, I don't know, that was not my favorite conflict either. But when she comes and sees her house decorated with the white star, that was cute. It was really cute.
And so, like, that's one of the things is that, okay, so I think what we've learned so far in the first two movies is have better tensions that you're having. And in this particular movie, have better casting. But that overall, there's, like, really cute things that are happening that make it special. And the White Star was one of them, I thought.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so I mean, I have to say, I've enjoyed talking about this movie a lot more than I actually enjoyed.
I like watching Twitter. Go through the hashtag Christmas at the Plaza on Twitter if you haven't already.
Yeah. It was a lot of people that think Ryan Peavy is very dreamy, which I don't
But
know.
I also like all the stuff that people say about Dennis, like all the gifts and things like that.
Yeah, he was he was the worst.
Well, I'm Plaza was tweeting stuff too, so that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to like it a lot better. So that was also, there was definitely some disappointment in there because it sounded so magical. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll give it two crowns.
Whoa.
Yeah. I just didn't enjoy it. It was just, that was,
I'll give it, can I give it, an extra crown for Ryan Peavy?
Yeah.
3.25.
All right, good. Okay, last we have Christmas in Evergreen, Tidings of Joy. This is the third in the Christmas in Evergreen series, but you don't
I haven't
really
seen the first two, so I was hoping I was going to be able to follow it, and I did. So.
Yeah, they're more like spinoffs, I would say, than sequels, although you do get the returning cast just briefly, because... Ashley Williams, it was in the first one, and the Jill Wagner was in the second one, and they're in this a little bit.
Oh, that's good. So I'll have to go back and see if I can't find the first two so I can have the complete, you know, trilogy.
Yeah. So this is our third entry, and it's as the town searches for a rumored Christmas time capsule, a skeptical writer arrives in Evergreen to get the story on the town's too good to be true Christmas fever. Mm-hmm. So, and this stars Paul Green, Maggie Lawson, Barbara Niven, the list goes on and on.
I love Maggie Lawson. I'm a huge fan of Psych, so when I saw she was in it, that's like the opposite of the last movie, right? Where the lead kind of like that made it more disappointing, and her as the lead made me more excited about everything in the movie.
So. I was excited, but I liked the secondary characters and secondary relationship way better than the main relationship in this.
Yeah, I liked Maggie Lawson. I didn't say I liked her.
I it's weird because I feel like Maggie Lawson should be such a great fit for Hallmark. She's made three movies for them, and this is the best of the three, but I don't know. They've all been a little bit disappointing. They haven't been great.
The story or the chemistry?
I don't know. I can't quite figure it out because I think that in Psych, the banter is different.
Yeah.
In Psych than in this. And I don't know. I don't know if she just hasn't found the right spot for her or. Yeah.
I think it's a weird thing. Absolutely charming, though. I love her.
yeah, she's good. It's just an interesting thing because I just think she would be one of the favorites, one of the best. But
I'll have to go.
I don't know.
You're giving me so much to watch. But yeah, maybe I'll check out the other Maggie Lawson. Maybe we can pinpoint it. We got tips.
Okay. Yeah. Let's know. But so we got kind of a lot going on in this movie. Mm-hmm. You have them meeting on the Evergreen Express, which was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this movie was elevated by a pretty fun script by Zach Hugg, who has been on our podcast and really enjoy him. And just like little things that he would add in there. Like I liked the fact that when the librarian is talking and there's like an Alison Bechdel reference, and I'm like, I never thought I'd hear that on Hallmark.
Yeah, you're like, thank you.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just thought that the Rekia Bernard Antonio, what's his last name? Antonio Caione, I guess. The Elliot and Hannah plotline was so much better than the Paul Green, Maggie Lawson plotline.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Like, I was least intrigued by the relationship of the main two folks.
Yes.
And really sort of like immersed in the town and the magic. And yeah. I really enjoyed the capsule and the mystery and the little boy who found the stuff and then pulling out and kind of doing, I mean, can I reveal that now? Like the 50-year capsule ends up being an advent calendar for the town. And I thought that was a lot of fun. I know there's reasons behind advent calendar, but I think it's kind of fun idea to have like stuff left behind and ideas of how to celebrate the holiday and bringing the town together. And I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I have to say, I think that journalist is probably my least favorite Hallmark heroine profession. Yes. It's just so like most of the time I feel like the people that they have as journalists are really should be bloggers. Like they're not.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
They don't fit at all in anything that's modern journalism.
Yeah. Well, and I also liked though, as sort of like, you know, expanding upon that idea is that she wrote a book, and so her mom wants her to be a journalist, so to speak. But she's on vacation. But I do think that someone who writes would know that there's something special about this town that you would have to write about.
Yeah.
I didn't like the pressure from her mom. Like, mom, she's on vacation. There's gotta be someone else out there in the world who can write something for you besides your daughter, who is a book author.
And I did appreciate the fact that he didn't stay huffy at her very long at all.
Yes. Yes.
Like, he let it go pretty quickly.
Because she was right when she was telling the truth when she saw him on the train to say that she was not writing an article. And then from the time that she saw him on the train until later, things change. And that's exactly what life is. Like, things change very quickly. Things develop very quickly. And I would agree. So he's not mad at her for doing her job, so to speak. Although I was like, I don't think it's your job. I think your job right now is to be on vacation and enjoy this magical town of because it is magical.
And it's such a magical town that neither of these humans does their writing, because he's like a journalist too, like a former journalist they do it by hand instead of on the computer, which I was just like,
what year is it?
Yeah.
Hey, Rachel, do you do any of your writing by hand?
No. I mean, I don't even know. I always have to hunt down when I need a pen. So it's no. And so that was I just wasn't into the Paul Green Maggie Lawson storyline.
I liked more along the lines that, you know, what could have been really cool is like she go there on vacation, what she discovers is the relationships from the town, and then she writes about them. And I think that would have been a fulfilling story as well. But I realize also that the idea of a lot of the Hallmark movies is like romantic connection and romantic gathering or romantic comedies. And I think really what the treat of this movie was the town. And I love how that like a blizzard brought the town together and they were friends. And then they created this time capsule that ended up being the advent calendar to bring the town together again. But I also feel like I was like, I don't think the town ever came apart per se, but I think it was highlighting a particularly meaningful time for the town when they did have that blizzard.
Yeah. So Barbara Niven's character, her parents owned this bakery and she has all these fond memories, and she ends up becoming turning it into a diner. And so there's kind of that, and she's sort of nostalgic about the old bakery. And then you have the magical snow globe. Which was also my favorite part of this movie. And starts out with Maggie Lawson's character wishing on the snow globe, and then Rukia's character is wishing, and she never has gotten her wishes come true. So she thinks the snow globe is
she's like, this magic is
defective.
Whack.
Yeah, defective. Yeah,
she's like, it doesn't work.
And she ends up breaking the snow globe, which was pretty upsetting. Pretty like, oh my gosh. And so, but then that starts on this whole sort of mystery that mm-hmm. this was pretty fun. I thought the whole rebuilding of the snow globe was pretty well done. And
yeah.
there's ends up being a key underneath one of the parts of the snow globe. And we find out at the very end that Mr. Nick from the old man, sort of your, that he bumped her, he nudged her, made her break it
so they can solve the mystery, open the event calendar. But he was also there when she made the wish, though, too. Like, he's in the background, so he's like, she needs her wish because everyone in that town knows that her, and I forget the characters' names, but
Elliot,
Anna, and
Elliot,
that they all needed to be together.
They had such great chemistry, and Antonio Caione and Ricky Bernard. I thought they were so good together, and I just, any scene with them was the best.
Yeah,
it was so good, and so. They start to rebuild this snow globe. And what did you think of that glass blowing scene?
Oh, well, here's the thing. I was like, I've seen this before because I lived in Corning, New York, and that's Corning Glassware. And so there's a museum, and I've blown glass, and I've gone to like different classes or like viewings of it. So I'm like, I always get excited when I see glass blowing in culture, like in pop culture and things like that, because it's an artistic, like, these are artists, they're called gaffers, and they don't get their due, and I didn't know about them until so historians, gaffers, we got all sorts of people in this three movies getting their due. I didn't know about them until I lived in Corning, and so I was like, yes, get that glass blowing going.
Did you know that, so you maybe already knew that glass blowing was such a sexy activity? Like, they got really, like, very cozy doing this glass blowing. It was pretty good.
One of the things I can say about the glass blowing is that when I went to go do it, it was not like that.
A failure on your part.
I also have asthma, so I have I have problems like blowing up balloons and things like that. So the person who was helping me had to finish blowing my glass.
You could have met the love of your life and been glass blowing together, but
yeah, they were like, no, this is not gonna work.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, all the he's the sexy glass, independent glass maker, glass artisan, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. there's so many moments in that movie where it like pans up and just like holds on whatever Josh Lucas's character's name, I can't remember. Just holds on his face for like exorbitantly long periods of time. And they were like, thank you, director.
Way to go. They knew what they were doing.
Or Patrick Dempsey is the same way. It's like,
yeah, they know what's going on. They know the target audience.
Yeah. But I thought it was great. I just thought they had such great chemistry, and I could have just watched a whole movie of them trying to fix rebuild the snow globe. And
that's the thing, is I think that like this movie ends up being where it's mistakenly focused on the wrong thing.
I that's how I feel. And so then they find the key, so that's the other kind of part of it. And it ends up being, what did you think of this whole wall that ends up like coming down?
I was like, how did no one else find this ever? But it was really cool. Like, it was made really well. Like, they did some major work during a blizzard. Like, how it looked like that after like a blister that kept them inside for 2 weeks. Like,
I mean, there's never noticed that there's this huge part of the wall that like sticks out, you know, and that's, I don't know, it's funny.
They're
like,
this is weird architecture. And they just keep walking.
And they're like pulling out the special effects and everything with the way that the wall just like crumbles.
It was cool. And I was like, oh my
it
God.
Was cool.
I was like, oh, that's not a time capsule. That's an advent calendar.
Yeah, it was pretty epic. I enjoyed it.
I liked the mystery aspect of it all. Like, where is this capsule at? And the kid was like, he was like on it. He was using the library. I was like, kid, you got this. So, yeah, I enjoyed it.
It was good. I liked Mayor Ezra's leaving and Helly Robinson Pete is becoming the new mayor. Yes. And that whole dynamic was funny. and then there's the whole sequence that they go caroling.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just talked about one of my episodes of Best Forever. So I was like, I've only seen people carol in Hallmark movies. And then I was like, see?
Also, though, I thought that the cookie baking montage was so odd. Like, what is this weird song? It was like, it's time for Christmas. It's the time for Christmas. And I'm like, what is this? I don't know.
And apparently the only time we know that is when we got cookies.
Yeah. But yeah, it was
that one. I was like, I could do without this.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love a good cookie and I do love a good montage, but
it reminded me of, there's this movie this year that was pretty funny called It's a Christmas Movie Christmas. Two girls that get caught, wake up inside a Christmas movie. It was pretty funny. And then they're like, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this? And then they look at each other and they're like, montage time. That was funny.
Yeah, that was really cute. That's a cute idea for a movie.
Yeah, it was really good. And I did also love the scene where she finds her mom's wedding ring in.
Yeah,
the,
that was so cool.
Glitter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you lose your ring in the glitter, but not sort of realize, like,
and how you still have the same glitter from 50 years ago, but he kind of makes a joke, like, does glitter go bad?
Yeah, they don't use that glitter very often, evidently, and but it doesn't matter, because it was super cute, and her expression when she finds it was so fun, and of course, then she gives it to her brother, mm-hmm. who then ends up proposing to Helly Robinson Pete, which was also
was
really
great.
Cute.
Yeah,
it was
so
really cute.
Let's focus on them. Christmas Evergreen Part 4.
Yes. And so then we get the ending with Do You Hear What I Hear? And then the final opening of the box saying for the advent calendar, saying for them to redo the wall and set it up for another 50 years.
Like, why does it have to be 50 years?
Yeah, that's a long time.
Why not like 5 years, or like, hey, let's do this every year because this really brought us together. Like, what if the town isn't there in 50 years because they only have one road going?
I feel like 5 or maybe 10 years is probably better, but that was, it's true.
I mean,
it was kind of funny.
Yeah, maybe they can't afford it. You know, I don't know, but I was like, I thought it was really cute to have like a town advent calendar that brought everyone together. Like, so when Maggie Lawson opened it, it was like, do your favorite thing that you don't do, and like, so as building like snowmen together.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was cool.
It was cute.
Like,
it was cute.
And that is like one of the smallest towns ever. There's like,
I know. I feel like I would not want to live in Evergreen.
Evergreen every year, though.
Yeah, I want a vacation there. I don't think I'd want to live there.
Yeah.
But it's like, have you ever seen the old ABC Family, the movie, The Snow Globe?
No, I don't think I have.
Christina Milian. It's totally bonkers. But yeah, it's about her character ends up in a snow globe. And it's like, it's very Hallmark of horror, even though it wasn't on Hallmark. It's very like, it really should be a horror movie, but it's actually a romantic comedy. But it kind of reminded me of that a little bit. But
that evergreen is the snow globe.
Yeah, it's kind of evergreen.
You don't want to be there permanently. You want to, you know, a drive-by. Yeah. Train in, train out.
Yeah. So, but it was kind of nice at the end because he ends up, Paul Green's character ends up going with her to the city. And he gets the job, and that was a little different, so that was nice.
He was probably just waiting, buying his time to get out of there.
But yeah, so I'm gonna give this one 3.25 crowns.
Okay, well, one thing I'd like to mention that we didn't, that I thought was cute about the movie, and then I'll give my crown, was that he ends up writing a story about all the women business owners in the town, and I thought that was really cool.
That's true.
But also, like, the only time those business owners are going to probably make money is during Christmas. But so I was like, you might want to get a evergreen too. But I really enjoyed this one, and so I'm going to give it a 4, just like I gave The Christmas Club.
Yeah. So we did a poll on the favorite. And Christmas at the Plaza is the resounding winner at 48%.
What?
Yep. Christmas in Evergreen 3.
Was that for Ryan Pavey?
Yeah. People like what they like, so that's cool. Christmas in Evergreen 3, 36%. Christmas Club, 16%. So some of the different thoughts. Hotline to Hallmark says, that's a tough choice. It's down to Christmas Club and Evergreen for me. Truly enjoyed both. I think that Evergreen was a bit more festive. Yes. I like everything about the town and the different stories and surprises in it.
Yes, agreed.
Jonathan Garza says, I would say The Christmas Club was my least favorite because the female lead character came across as weak. The Christmas at the Plaza was good, but I thought the script had potential to be better. I thought Tidings of Joy was very good, but I didn't like the first montage musical scene. Yeah. We all agree on that first scene. What was happening? It was like right out of elevator music land. But Efren Kelly from Single Girl Table for One says, oh, this one was a tight race between Christmas at the Plaza and Christmas in Evergreen 3. Both were amazing. Mary Jo from the Pavey Pack. So that's why people are going to come after me. But I like Ryan Pavey.
Ryan Pavey, my life before Ryan Pavey, my life after. What was the name of that count? I need to follow them.
Yeah.
Pavey Pack.
Yeah, Pavey Pack. Hashtag Pavey Pack. Christmas at the Plaza is definitely my favorite. Truthfully, though, any movie with Ryan Pavey is my favorite Hallmark Channel movie. Ryan will always be my number one hunks of Hallmark and Hallmark guy. And and then let's see here, what else, a couple more. Cindy Kane says, it's a tough choice between Christmas in Evergreen and Christmas at the Plaza for me. Both were exceptional. I voted for the Plaza. They had one up because of location
and
near my home, I guess. And let's see if there's any few more. Nancy C says, I love Christmas Club, and I thought Cameron and Elizabeth Mitchell were great together. Christmas in the Plaza, good story, but I didn't like the female lead, and I thought the Evergreen one was flat and my least favorite. And so,
well, if they're talking about the main relationship, agreed.
And let's see, one more. Where did I have it? Oh, here, Tara Stawatz, says, I have to say that I liked The Christmas at the Palace, but we'll have to rewatch it because once my incredible family came down for Thanksgiving, we decided to watch other Christmas movies. So that sounds pretty fun. Yeah. It was on Thanksgiving Day, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So there we go. That is some of the thoughts that you all had. So let us know in the comments or on Twitter how mad you are at me and what what you thought. how many crowns you would give it. That would be great. And so thanks so much, Elisa. I really appreciate it. And
absolutely.
Where can people find you?
I am at Best Forever's Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And my personal account is Dr. Elisa Lucas. And I might be following some of you that did the poll because I want to know more about Ryan Pavey.
Yeah,
but also, I am also comparing all Christmas movies to the one about the Christmas Crawl from last year.
Yeah, Cookie Crawl. Yeah.
So good.
Christmas Joy, I think that was called. But it should have been called the Cookie Crawl.
It should have been called the Cookie Crawl. Cookie, yeah. Christmas Crawl, whatever. give me a sequel.
Yeah. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes, where I have all kinds of controversial reviews. So check that out. And then make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. If you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We really appreciate that as well. And so thanks so much. And make sure you check out our merch store. We sell, they're having the Black Friday sale throughout this whole weekend. So we have some really fun stuff. And then we also have our Patreon, which we really just so much appreciate any contributions that come to help us put on the podcast. It's so appreciated. So check that out. All the information will be in the description. And so we'll talk to you all later. Merry, Merry Christmas. And we're on to December.
Woo! Yay!